The word today is restored. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. Before Jesus had died on the cross, Peter denied knowing him three times, one of his worst mistakes. And Peter had previously boasted that he would never disown his Lord. But after Jesus rose from the dead, he restored Peter. It is one of the most beautiful accounts of the love of Jesus in the New Testament. Listen now as we hear about this beautiful moment from Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Restored.
There is a saying that we all die with unfinished business. You've probably seen this happen where someone has perished suddenly and they may have owned a business or they may have had plans and now they are entirely cut short. And people lament this. Oh, they were in the prime of their life or they had so much to do yet. You know, as Christians, we should be ready to die at any moment, and we should have all kinds of plans and things that we're involved in for the sake of the kingdom. And if God calls us at any time, it would be a privilege. It would be wonderful to be busy and active and productive for the name of Jesus when he calls us and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So, don't sit around trying to get everything all wrapped up and finished. Get out there and do things for the name of God, for the glory of Jesus. Have all kinds of things running before you die. Now, Jesus himself, when he went to the cross, had all kinds of, in a sense, unfinished business. He had not yet risen from the dead. That was necessary to be done. He had not yet reinstated Peter on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, where Peter would be told after the resurrection that he was forgiven. And we'll take a look at that in just a minute. And also, Jesus had not yet given the Great Commission, the most important words of Jesus, perhaps in the New Testament after the resurrection, are the words to send us out to carry his name to all people. Now, what about that reinstatement of Peter, the unfinished business? Peter had denied his Lord three times, but now in the resurrection, Jesus reinstates him. We hear about this in John chapter 21, starting at verse 15. When they had finished eating, this was on the shore of the Sea of Galilee after the miraculous catch of fish. When he had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." He said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Isn't that interesting how Jesus uses the same phrase at the resurrection at this point that he used when he first called the apostles way back when? "Follow me." You know, Peter had previously boasted, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." We found that written in Matthew chapter 26. And Jesus here is affording him forgiveness, giving him the opportunity to three times express his adoration of Jesus. And this is widely seen as what's called the reinstatement of Peter, that he would know with certainty that Jesus had forgiven him and had called him once again. And maybe that's what that phrase, "follow me," was all about. Just as at the beginning, Jesus still wanted Peter to follow him. Here is a faith principle for you who are listening today. Jesus forces us to choose. Will we place him first above all others? You know, Jesus started by saying, "Do you love me more than these?" And some of us said, "Well, what does that phrase, more than these, mean? Does it mean, do you love me more than these 150 or so fish that are here?" That seems kind of ludicrous. Obviously, Jesus would have been adored much more than a pile of fish. That's not a good suggestion. What about the other apostles? Does Peter love Jesus more than other people? Well, that's a good question. Does the phrase mean, "Peter, do you love me more than these guys love me?" You know, Jesus isn't so concerned about contests. Who's the most faithful? Who's the best Christian? Watch out for people that try to play the game of super saint, who are trying to show how important or how boisterous they are in the faith. Watch out. They usually have an ego problem. Jesus did not call us to play games about who is the most prominent. Remember, he even said that we must become like little children. And he used the analogy of a little child and said, "He who would be first must become servant of all." By the way, that is exactly what Jesus demonstrated to us when he served all of us by humbling himself to death and going to the cross in order to bear our sins. Trust me, this was not weakness. Some world religions mistake this. Some try to suggest that Jesus, he was too weak. He couldn't stop this from happening. Nonsense. In his strength and glory, in alignment with the will of God the Father, he used his strength and power in order to bear our sin to the cross. That was all orchestrated. That was all planned. It is the phenomenal capacity of God. It is the strength and power of Jesus to be our atonement, to be our one who would bear our sins. Never mistake Jesus for being weak. He is meek. He loves and serves and puts others first, as we should do, and as men should do in their families, lifting up their wives, lifting up their children, instead of dominating and having tyranny over them. But he is never weak. He works in the strength and the power of the Spirit and in love toward the Heavenly Father. Jesus forces us to choose. Who comes first? In Matthew 10, verse 33, he said, "Whoever disowns me before men, I will disown before my Father in heaven." In Luke 14, verse 26, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, such a person cannot be my disciple." Now, does that mean Jesus literally wants us to hate people? No, nonsense. This is hyperbole. It is extreme. It is exaggeration. Not a single person listening to Jesus who said this would think that he wants us to hate people. We know that is absolutely false. What it means is to prefer, to choose Jesus above all others. So you have to ask yourself a question. Do I put other people ahead of Christ? Do I put my mother or father? Do I put my deceased relatives? Some of these religions have us worship deceased relatives. Are you putting deceased people ahead of the Lord Jesus? Are you putting friends who like you ahead of Christ? Are you putting yourself ahead of the Lord Jesus? You'd better repent of this. Christ comes first. He demands to be Lord of your life. He calls on you to worship him, to adore him. He calls on you to trust inherently in him for your eternal future. He must be first. There are no others who come before Jesus. Not your spouse, not your children, not your job, not your material possessions, not your social standing, not your government. Nothing comes before the Lord Jesus. Now, many people will find that threatening, and they may hate you for that. That's the way the world reacts. The sinful world doesn't like it when we put Jesus first, but that is the only way, the only means to eternal life is through Jesus Christ. By the way, Jesus doesn't want us to disdain these others. He doesn't want us to mistreat and neglect our spouse or our children or the government and all. It's not a matter of displacement and to the trash bin with all these others. It's a matter of prioritization. Which will we serve unswervingly? Which one will be the foundation of our life? We can still show honor to the government in obedience to laws. We can still show love and kindness to our family. We don't have to get rid of all these things, but we must come to Jesus and love him above all else. And here's the proof. You can tell who's faking it and who's real. Real Christians who love Jesus worship. They pray. They study the Word of God. They give their offerings to the Lord, and they witness to others. If you're not doing any of these things, you're faking. You're pretending. And there's millions of Christians who pretend. And we call on you to repent of that thin commitment to Jesus. But we also want you to know that Christ loves you as Peter. And when he says, "Do you love me more than these?" That's the question we need to answer. Do you love Jesus more than all of these? I hope the answer is yes, and you will find the love and the forgiveness of Christ. And your devotion will be tested, but you will pass as you show the devotion and love to our Savior Jesus.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's The Word Today. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.